All right, I want to welcome everybody to the master's class here at Life Change Church. And I'm going to have to figure out a new way to say that, but we're Life Change Church, all right? And the what? That was good? All right. All right, we are in the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, verse 17. We're going to be talking about a true friend, a true friend. Now, like most of you, I can count on one hand the number of true friends that I've had throughout my life and still have fingers left over. You know, a true friend is a gift from God, and it is something that we treasure because they are so rare. And in today's lesson, I'm going to flip this around and talk about what we, meaning you and I, need to do in order to cultivate and become a true friend to someone else. When I was in the early days of Coke, they brought in and we had Dale Carnegie. Yeah, Dale Carnegie. How to Win Friends and Influence People. And then How to Stop Worrying and Start Living were some of the training classes that we had. So I'm an expert on how to win friends and influence people. No, I'm not really. So what do I mean when I say a true friend? Well, somebody has said a friend is someone who comes in when everyone else goes out. And I think that's true. I think that's true. That's part of it. If you want to know who your true friends are, face some tragedy in your life and then see who jumps ship and who comes to be with you. We've got friends jumping all over the place in today's woke society and cancel society. You say one thing wrong and everybody jumps ship and starts condemning you, right? So the Bible describes, and I say things wrong all the time, so I don't even have anybody on my ship most of the time. So the Bible describes what a true friend is in our focus verse for our lesson. And it's Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now, isn't that a great verse? A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now, for the believer, of course, the best friend that we ever have is Jesus Christ. Now, just think about the blessings that we have from knowing Jesus and having Christ as a friend and all of the things that it ultimately means to us. How his friendship for us lifts us to a new level. And the fact that we didn't choose him, but he chose us. Now, I want to tell you that even if Jesus had chosen us to be his slaves and servants instead of his friend, it would still be wonderful to know Jesus Christ. But he said in John 15, 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. And then not only is Jesus our best friend, but think about how his friends become our friends. John 15, 9 says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Now notice the ending of that verse. Jesus says that he has loved us as the Father has loved him. But then he says, continue in my love. And now what does that mean? Now look at how that phrase is translated in the New American Standard Version. It says, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Now, as it's used here in the 15th chapter of the book of John, the word abide, and I put this in here because I thought it in your notes, because I thought this was a real good description. It describes the Christian maintaining unbroken fellowship with Christ, and he makes his spiritual home in Christ. And there is nothing between the Christian and his Savior. There is no sin unjudged and not put away. He depends upon him for spiritual life and vitality, just as the branch is dependent upon the vine. And then Jesus tells us in John 15, 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. So put those two verses together about how the word abide means that you're living in Jesus Christ, and then put verse 12 together with that and say that ye love one another as I have loved you. So what Christ is describing for us is how we are to be friends to others. He's saying that ye love one another as I have loved you, because every friend of Jesus needs to be a friend of mine. And that's not always true, right? I mean, we as Christians tend to bicker a lot and between each other, but it should be that every friend of Christ is a friend of mine. And so that just means that our family is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger as more people come to know Jesus Christ. And we need to come to know and love one another because of Jesus. Now, most of us here today would have never met the other people in this class and in this church had it not been for Jesus, right? Yeah, and thank God for that. Then there is the cost of our Lord's friendship. For Jesus to be our friend, he willingly bought us out of slavery to Satan and death with his blood. Now, for us to be his friend, we know that we also have to be willing to lay down our lives for Jesus. John 15:13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Now, that doesn't mean that, doesn't only mean that you have to die physically in order to be Jesus's friend, right? Even though you might have to, because a great number of people have had to do just that in the persecution. But instead of a physical death, you could be asked to die to pride and ego and ambition and to other sins that might be in your life. You see, there are no bargain friendships. A friendship that is worth anything is costly. But even though there is a cost to being the Lord's friend, there is a great reward for being a friend of Jesus. And it is a reward that makes the cost seem so small. Jesus tells us that we are his friends and that he is going to reveal sacred secrets to us. In John 15:15 that we read earlier, Jesus said, "For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth," meaning that the slave or the servant doesn't know his master's will, or he doesn't know the intimate things about his master. But a friend does. The slave is told what to do, but the friend is told why he does it. What this means is that Jesus Christ, the Son of the Almighty God, has us as his intimates because he talks to us about the things of him. And because we have that spiritual insight, then we have that spiritual fruitfulness, and we can pray in the name of Jesus and expect to get our prayers answered. That's the wonderful thing about being a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ, beyond the fact we have eternal life. I mean, we have such an intimate relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. So today, we're going to look a little more carefully at this matter of friendship and talk about how we can be a friend and how to have a friend, how to cultivate and maintain a friendship. Now, friends are very, very important in life. So, and it's so important that we understand that not only must Jesus be our friend, but because he is, then we need to be friends to others. The deepest need of the human heart is for intimacy. That's just another way of saying friendship. Now, let me give you the true marks of a friend, the marks of a true friend. Now, I'm not talking to you about casual acquaintances. I'm not talking to you about false friends. But I am talking to you today about true friends. Let me give you three marks of a true friend. And then you can measure any relationship you have to see if your friend is really a true friend. Now, the first mark of a true friend is that a true friend, sharpens you. That is, they'll make you a sharper person, a better person. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Now, this is one of those very familiar verses, and it means that a true friend will put an edge on your life. That friend will make you a better person. Now, some people are in difficulty because of false friends, and a false friend dulls your life. They blunt your influence. They drag you down. Now, pay attention when I say that anybody who makes it easier for you to do what you know to be wrong is not a friend. They are not true friends. A true friend sharpens your life. A true friend puts a keen edge on your life. And in our woke society, in our cancel culture, and I say that a lot, I know, but I'm just totally amazed at the way our society is right now. But there may be some of you who have chosen not to be a Christian because you're afraid that it may cost you the friends that you have today. Perhaps they would laugh at you or they would attack you and if you gave your heart to Christ and stood up for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that's true, then you need some new friends. Now, the word friend and the word freedom come from the same root in the English language. A friend is someone who frees you to be all that you can be. The word friend and the word freedom both speak of that which spurs you on. Now, someone wrote these beautiful words, and they emphasize the difference between a casual friend and a true friend. For they start with the intimacy of a true friend, and then they describe the impact a true friend has on our lives. And it says, I love you not for what you are, but for what I am when I am with you. I love you not only for what you have made of yourself, but for what you're making of me. I love you for not closing your ears to the discord in me, but for adding to the music in me by worshipful listening. You have done it without a touch, without a word, without a sign. You've done it by just being yourself. Perhaps this is what being a friend means after all. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? That's almost, when I first started reading that the first time, I thought, well, this is a note I might read to my wife or something. But it's almost like, you know, thank you for being my wife. And she is my best friend. But without a doubt, this is describing what a true friend is. Now, one of the true tests of any friendship is, am I a better person for having known this person? By being in the presence of that person. Are you a better person just by being in the presence of that person? Now, of course, we know that is why Jesus is such a wonderful friend. Everything that could be considered good about my life is not my goodness, but His. And it shows the friendship that Jesus has shown to me. So here's the first thing you need to ask yourself. Does this person sharpen me? Does he or she make me a better person? And if so, they may be a true friend. But not only does a true friend sharpen, a true friend sticks. Now, what do I mean by that? A true friend sticks. All right? Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So in other words, a true friend stays. A true friend not only sharpens you, but a true friend is steadfast. They stick to you closer than a brother. Again, in Proverbs 17, verse 17, it says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. So I said earlier that if you want to see who your real friends are, just make a mistake and see whether or not they leave you. You see, life is like a ship, and some people get on board and get off board very easily. Some will stay on board as long as everything is smoothing along, just sailing smoothly. But they'll get on board and sail with you, but let the rough weather come, and then they'll abandon ship really quick. But a true friend is one who will stay with you and stick with you. Now, Jesus is the epitome of this type of friend. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. And the word abideth means he lives in you, and you live in him. So this just means that even though we deny Jesus, he abides faithfully. That's also the reason why I'm kept saved. The reason that you cannot lose your salvation is this: Jesus will never walk away on you. Listen carefully. If you believe that you can lose your salvation, then that would mean that God is a liar when he says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithfully. Jesus is a true friend, and he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A true friend is someone who sticks with you in tragedy. So next, not only is a real friend somebody who sharpens you and then sticks with you, a true friend stabs. Oh my goodness, Keith. A true friend stabs. They sharpen, they stick, and they stab. And you say, well, I don't want to be stabbed. Yet God says that you do. Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Do you know that a real friend, a friend who truly loves you, will wound you? He'll wound you if you need to be wounded. That is, he will tell you the truth, and he won't give you hypocritical kisses when he needs to do a little spiritual surgery on you. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. I'm so grateful that through my life I've had those who have put their arms around my shoulders and helped me when I've done wrong. And flattery is not true friendship. The verse says, the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Now, Judas was not a friend of Jesus when he kissed Jesus and betrayed the Lord Jesus. He was not a friend, at least in the true sense. Now, do you know the difference between a hypocrite and a flatterer? Well, a flatterer will say to your face what he'll not say behind your back. And a hypocrite will say behind your back what he'll not say to your face. Now, neither one of them are true friends. Now, a true friend cares enough to confront. Okay, so those are the three marks of a true friend. I'm just in the introduction of the lesson here, guys. True friend. A true friend will make you a better person. A true friend is truly faithful. And a true friend will care enough and love enough to confront you when you've done wrong. Now, with that said, how do you make a true friend? Now, many of us might say, well, I wished I had some true friends. I don't have many true friends. And there may even be some here today who say, I don't even have one true friend. Now, that might be because people of our age, we're getting to that point where all those that you once called true friends have already passed away, those ones that you grew up with, right? Or it might be that you just have never met that person you would call a true friend. Well, true friends are built. You can't make a true friend overnight. There are no rush orders. Friendships are not toadstools. They are oak trees. You build true friends over the years. You build true friends by being a true friend. Now, I'm going to give you 5 secrets for building a friend. And this is better than Dale Carnegie anytime, okay? Because this comes out of the Bible. All right. So now I'm going to give you those 5 secrets for building a friend. But all of these 5 secrets are built on one principle. One principle. And that principle is what Jesus said in John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now that's really just a reinstatement of the golden rule. In Luke 6:31, it says, as ye would that men should do unto you, do ye also to them likewise. Now, that's the principle that we're going to be working from. But let me give you these 5 secrets that will enable you to be the kind of person that others will resonate to, that others will be attracted to. Do you want to be a true friend to others as Jesus has commanded us to be? Amen? Amen. All right. That means we're going to get uncomfortable because we're going to have to be true friends to people, right? So then I'm going to give you these 5 things, and they all begin with the letter A so that you can remember them more easily. I want you to notice that these are the characteristics of the greatest friend the world has ever known, They're the characteristics of Jesus Christ, because Jesus has commanded us to love others as he loved us. Now, what are these five secrets that will be, that will help you be the kind of friend that you could be and should be? And the first one is acceptance. So first of all, what does everybody want? They want to be accepted, right? You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 that God has made us accepted in the Beloved. Accepted in the Beloved. We all want people to accept us. Jesus accepted the disciples. Remember what he said to them in John 15:16 is, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." So Jesus did not accept the disciples because they were perfect. God knew that they weren't perfect, but they needed him, and he accepted them. Do you know why Jesus could accept them? Because Jesus knew who he was. He didn't need to manipulate them or use them. He could accept them. And do you know that the people who have a difficult being friendly are usually the people who have never really accepted themselves? Now, let me just give you something here. Now, we're still under the heading of acceptance here, but here are some words that you need to learn. The first word is grace. You know what grace is? Grace is God's acceptance of us. God accepts us not because we're good. God loves us by his grace. Grace is God's acceptance of us. Now, the second word is faith. Now, faith that lays hold of grace is my acceptance of God's acceptance of me. Let me say that again. Faith that lays hold of grace is my acceptance of God's acceptance of me. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." God says, "I love you, I accept you," and faith says, "I believe it, God, and I accept that you accept me." Grace is God's acceptance of me. Faith is my acceptance of God's acceptance of me. Now here's the third. You try to say that five times fast, okay? Now here's the third word, peace. Peace is my acceptance of me. Once I accept the fact that God has accepted me, then I have peace within myself. I'm no longer chastising myself. I'm no longer listening to the great accuser about how terrible I am. I have peace with myself because God has accepted me. And for the first time, I can say, I accept me. Not because I think I'm good, but because of the grace of God. He has made me accepted in the Beloved. Peace says, if God has accepted me, shouldn't I accept what God accepts? Well, then I accept me. Now, have you ever seen people who have never accepted themselves? They're not at peace with themselves, and that impacts how they react with you. Now, if you want to see the difference this makes, compare that to what it's like to be around an individual who is at peace with himself. People who are at peace with themselves are wonderful people to be around. The difference is easy to see, and a person who is at peace with themselves draws others to be around them. You see, you are to love you. Don't let anybody ever tell you that it's wrong to love yourself. That is a lie straight out of hell. The Bible says we're to love others as we love ourselves. So if you don't love yourself, how are you going to love others, right? So people who don't love themselves are dangerous to be around. Now, I don't mean for you to be an egotist. You don't go stand in front of a mirror and saying how great thou art. Yeah, if you do that, then you're sick, right? Yeah, but you accept yourself. God has made us accepted in the Beloved, and peace is my acceptance of me. Now, the next word is love. Grace is God's acceptance of me. Faith is my acceptance of his acceptance of me. Peace is my acceptance of me. And love is my acceptance of you. When I'm at peace with myself, when I truly accept me, then for the first time, I can accept you. I don't have to lord it over you. I don't have to brag to you about what I've done. I don't have to put you down. I don't have to show off in front of you. I don't have to misuse, abuse, or manipulate you. I know who I am, and therefore, I can accept you. Now, remember the passage that we covered last week in John, where Jesus was washing the feet of the disciples, and John described the attitude that Jesus had while he was doing this. And it said, Jesus, knowing that he came from God and went to God, took a towel and washed his disciples' feet. Now, how could he do that? How could he accept them? How could the Lord of glory wash the dirty feet of fishermen? He knew who he was. He knew that he came from God and he went to God. He had nothing to lose. By showing them love, it didn't diminish him one bit. The people who are afraid to love other people are people who think that somehow there's not enough love to go around. They have never really accepted themselves. So love is my acceptance of you. Now the next word is fellowship. Now listen to this chain again. Grace is God's acceptance of me. Faith is my acceptance of God's acceptance of me. Peace is my acceptance of me. Love is my acceptance of you, and then fellowship is your acceptance of me. Your acceptance of me. Grace, faith, peace, love, and fellowship. There's an unbroken chain. We need to learn how to accept God's acceptance of us so we can accept ourselves and then we can accept others. So that's the first of the five secrets to being a true friend to others. And it's the word acceptance. Now, people want to be accepted. Jesus said to those disciples, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Now, here's the second secret to being a true friend to others. Not only do they want to be accepted, but they want to be acknowledged. Now, recognize that they are there. And when you're around people, give them your full heart. Give them your full attention. Understand that people are important. When you talk to people, listen to them. Look them in the eye. Understand that they are not just a lump of protoplasm. Have you ever watched people in the store going through the checkout line? And the checkout girl never looks up to see who the person is, and the person never looks up to see who the checkout girl is. During that training, they're just doing some kind of a transaction, right? And nobody even acknowledges that the other person is really there. Now, that girl who's checking you out in a grocery store may be lost and on the road to hell. Her husband may have just walked out on her. Her little child may be in the hospital. Acknowledge people. Look at people. That is a soul for whom Christ died who is standing in front of you. And people need this. They need to be acknowledged. You know, I spent a lot of time on airplanes, which means that I spent a lot of time in airports. Yeah, you can't get on an airplane without going on to an airport in these days, right? Airports like Atlanta and Chicago and Dallas, they are just terrible. I'm here to tell you they're terrible. Now, they usually have a transport system like a subway car, and it'll have a recording on it, something that says something like, this door is about to close, stand back from the door, beep, 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 the door will not spring back, okay? And you better get out of the way of that door because it ain't going to spring back. And you see these people, and they go on down the escalator, and then they're going back up that escalator, and then they're going into this transport train, and this little machine drives them around. And there's not even a driver in the thing. Ain't that wonderful? You're riding around in something without even a driver on it, right? You know, they remind me of sausages in a factory. And that's the way our world is getting. I've been trying to get to my doctor's office for the last 2 weeks to make some changes. And you get on the phone and it says, if you want so-and-so, push one. If you want so-and-so, push two. And I say, no, I want to talk to somebody. I don't want a recording. I actually want to talk to a human being, right? I mean, this is the world that we are living in. It's incredible. People want to say, hey, You're a person. You're flesh and blood. If you want to be a friend, then you're going to have to acknowledge people. You know what the psychologists have told us? That of all adult communication, 9% is in writing, 16% is in reading, 30% is in talking, and 45% is in listening. Listening to others is one of the chief methods of communicating with others. You see, that's a God-like quality to acknowledge people and to listen to them. Psalms 34:15 says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry." Now, if God is this way, if God is listening, if the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and he says that we are to love others as he loves us, then our eyes need to be upon other people. Learn to look people in the eye. Learn to see them as a person. Learn to listen to them, and truly listen to them. Psalms 116:1 says, "I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications." So when we listen to other people, when we make eye contact with other people, we're saying to those people, "You are important to me. I acknowledge your presence and your importance, and people want to be acknowledged." Now, next, not only do people want to be accepted, people want to be acknowledged, and then here's the third secret to being a true friend: people want to be appreciated. Now, all these things may sound alike, but they're all slightly different. They're all very close because they're all under the same heading of doing unto others as you would do unto, as you would have them do unto you. But people want to be appreciated. Dr. William James said, "The deepest principle in human nature is the craving to be appreciated." I want to be appreciated, don't you? Don't you like being appreciated? Now, the truth is that you're lying if you say you don't want to be appreciated. Mark Twain said that he could live 3 weeks on a compliment. 3 weeks on a compliment, right? Now, almost always, when Paul was writing his letters, his epistles, you're going to find out that if there was a problem in the church that he needed to deal with, that first of all, he would give words of appreciation. And then if you read the letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation and see how the Lord, even when these churches needed to be rebuked over something, first of all, the Lord gave them a word of appreciation. Learn to appreciate people because the Lord appreciates people. Listen to what the Lord says here in Mark 10:42. "And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." Now, can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ thanking us for giving someone a cup of cold water? Now, listen, tell your husband that you appreciate him. Tell your wife that you appreciate her. Tell your children that they are appreciated. We all need to hear that we are appreciated. God gives it, and we should give it as well. And now here's the next thing. People need to be affirmed. You say, well, what's the difference between appreciation and affirm? Well, you give appreciation for what people do. You give affirmation for who people are. So we live in a very negative world, and as a result, many people have a very poor self-image of themselves. Do you know that your children need to be affirmed every day? You know, so many of the children in our homes don't have affirmation. And that's one reason there are so many teenage suicides. Do you know that what enters into the mind of a teenager sometimes? And this is tragic when it happens. They say, well, if I commit suicide, at least the next day on campus, they'll weep and wail over me because I'm gone. And maybe if I die, somebody will appreciate me and think, well, maybe, you know, I really was important after all. And it drives some to suicide. And that's so foolish because suicide never solves a problem. Never does it solve a problem. It only makes any matter worse for the living and the dead. but we are living in a world of put-downs. Now listen to me, when you affirm someone, it doesn't mean that you approve of everything that person does. The Bible is full of affirmations, and yet the Bible acknowledges the fact that we're sinners and that we all fail. We all need to be affirmed. In Proverbs 11:9, a hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. And the Living Bible paraphrases it this way, evil words destroy, godly skill rebuilds. People need to be affirmed. And then there's assurance. And I know I'm running late, but I'm almost done here. So there's assurance. This is the fifth and the final thing that they need. And if you would make friends and love people as Jesus loved his disciples, they want to be assured. Now, all of these things, again, may sound alike, but each one of them has a different nuance. And they want to be assured that you understand, that you have empathy with them. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. So find a way to let people know that you're sensitive to what they're up against, what they feel, and what they are going through. Assure them that you're there, that and that to your limited ability, that you understand or that you're trying to understand what it is that they're going through. People want to be assured that you understand. Now, what are these five secrets to being a true friend? People need to be accepted. They need to be acknowledged. They need to be appreciated. They need to be affirmed. And they need to be assured. Now, I said earlier that friendship with Jesus is costly. And friendship with others is also costly. And how do you maintain a friendship? Well, it's not easy, is it? John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Well, you don't just find time for a friend on your calendar. You make time for that friend. You pay the price. Those phone calls, that visit, that gift, that loaf of fresh baked bread, that basket of muffins, that deed of kindness, little or big, that does it. It's the best investment that you can make. That is how you become a true friend. Now, we've just made the decision to change the name of our church to Life Change Church, Wichita. Now, we did so because we wanted to be clear that what we offer is God's promise of a true life change. Now, we offer eternal life with Jesus Christ in heaven, and if this is truly our vision, then it is very important for you as an individual to have friends and to be a friend. But if we are to bring more people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, then we need to meet their needs. And one of those things, one of those needs that need to be met is that of a spirit of friendliness. A spirit of friendliness. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's pretty basic stuff. I mean, this isn't anything that you probably didn't know right off the top of your head, but it's when you've got to put it all together and think about what it is that you do. And some of you are much better. I said Faye earlier. Faye is absolutely wonderful at doing these things. She listens. She counsels. She is a true friend to a lot of people. And I praise God for her and her being in this class. She even takes my abuse when I try to pick on somebody in class. But I appreciate her.